Production and distribution of City Club Forums on IdeaStream are made possible by the generous support of PNC and the Raskin Family Fund, with additional funding from Cleveland State University, Robert Conrad, and the Payne Fund.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the City Club of Cleveland. I'm Rob Falls, president of Falls Communications, but more importantly, member of the City Club's Board of Directors, which is a distinct honor. As a part of the City Club's ongoing effort to put you in the conversation with people shaping the future of our state, it is going to be my pleasure to introduce our Lieutenant Governor today, Mary Taylor. In 2018, Ohioans will head to the polls to vote for a variety of statewide offices. Let's tick them off. 16 House seats, one Senate seat, a new governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, and auditor. I think we're going to be in store for a lot of great debates coming up and a great bunch of speeches. Together, these roles comprise a large chunk of Ohio's state and federal representation. In the last year at the City Club, we have hosted Secretary of State John Houston, Attorney General Mike DeWine, who have both since announced their gubernatorial bids, Ohio Senator Joe Salvoni, and who kicked off our Meet the Candidate series in May as the first Democrat to announce his candidacy for governor. Ms. Taylor was sworn in as Ohio's 65th Lieutenant Governor on January 10th, 2011, the same day John Kasich announced her to lead the CSI Ohio Common Sense Initiative. I like that title. It's to reform Ohio's regulatory policies, and in this position, she also served as director of the Ohio Department of Insurance. As the first certified public accountant, which is really good, to serve as auditor of the state, Ms. Taylor transformed the office to a nationally recognized auditing office. As a state legislator, she was a member of the House Finance, Ways and Means, and Education Committees and helped pass Ohio's 2005 tax reform package. It reduced personal income taxes by 21%. The measure also eliminated the tangible personal property tax, the corporate franchise tax, and the inventory tax imposed on businesses. On behalf of everyone here, thank you, Mary, for that. Like less taxes, which is a wonderful thing. Ms. Taylor earned her bachelor degree in accounting and a master's in taxation from the University of Akron. Prior to public service, she worked for the firms of Deloitte and Touche and Bobber, Markey, and Federich and Company. And most importantly, I had a chance to spend a few minutes with her before the session started, and I asked her three most important questions as a statewide official. Favorite baseball team? Indians. Favorite football team? Browns. And favorite basketball team, I don't need to say anymore. And also, I said, what else would you like everybody to know? She says she's an incredible dog lover, even though she has three crazy dogs at home. So ladies and gentlemen, friends of the City Club, please welcome Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. So let me tell you a story about my three crazy dogs. So when I get downstairs this morning, my husband says to me, you need to check Maya's collar. She ran out into the road and there was another dog out there that she wanted to play with. If you know my dog, she wasn't playing. The morning went on, so my husband doesn't know much of this. And then it decided it was going to rain this morning. I don't know if it rained in Cleveland, and it also stormed. If you know my dog Maya, the 85-pound German Shepherd, she hates storms. So she would not leave me alone. She got in the shower with me and she sat on my lap when I did my makeup. It goes on. So I go downstairs, I'm gonna feed the dogs. I go out into the garage to get the dog food and the freezer is broken. So dear, we have a mess to clean up when we get home tonight. So I'm sorry. I thought I'd tell you now in front of this crowd because it would be easier that way. So it's great to be with all of you. Thank you for being here. This state I love, has a great deal to be proud of. Ohio has a strong history of innovation and excellence. It has produced 8 presidents and was the home of John Glenn, the first man to orbit the Earth, and Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, among countless other leaders and innovators. And we're not done yet. Today, Ohio is shedding our Rust Belt image, adjusting to the new economy. We are at our best looking forward. Ohioans lean in to tomorrow. We shape our future. We are pathfinders rather than followers, and Ohio deserves political leaders who do the same. The greatest leader is not the one who does the greatest things, President Reagan said. They're the ones who inspire the people to do the greatest things. We need leaders who embody the best of Ohio, who have integrity and are forward-looking, who are innovative and policy-minded, who have a clear conservative vision for our state and the skills to make that vision into reality. That kind of leadership has seldom been more urgently needed. Over the last 6.5 years, we've dug ourselves out of a hole. We've made progress in important areas, but there is much work yet to be done. We've reformed our business regulations, but we haven't completely tamed them yet. We've reduced taxes, but our tax system remains too complicated and inefficient. We've invested serious resources to battle the drug addiction epidemic facing our state, but we are still losing far too many of our family, friends, and neighbors. We've built an environment where the private sector created nearly 500,000 new jobs, but there are still too many Ohioans struggling day to day, trying to find work, even while many businesses lack the trained workforce they need. Our progress is real, but we are not satisfied. We are scaling the mountain, but we are not yet at the summit. Now is not the time to rest and to wait. Our great state can be even greater. There are magnificent things we can do, stubborn problems we can solve, and individual lives we can help repair. As Lieutenant Governor, I've been privileged to witness up close, day to day, person to person, the extraordinary resilience and decency, the hope and spirit, the hard work and compassion of Ohioans in every corner of this state. But I have also seen the continuing challenges some face, the new problems they confront, and the unmet needs that exist. To meet this moment requires a leader of vision, energy, and ability. A leader who can turn promises into policies, policies into action, and actions that make the lives of ordinary people better. I am that person. And so today, I am announcing that I am running to be the next governor of Ohio. This race will not be easy, but that's just fine with me because nothing important has ever come easily in my life. I'm not the product of a life of privilege. My family circumstances weren't always easy. When I was in middle school, my mother left us, so I was raised by my father and my grandmother. My dad was a blue-collar worker. I worked my way through college. And so I can relate to those who struggle, who are being left out of the benefits of the modern economy, and who face hardships in good economic times and bad. I can relate to the millions of middle-class Ohioans who struggle from paycheck to paycheck, who may have a job, but feel overwhelmed by rising healthcare costs, student debts, and who sense that government wastes our resources, ignores our voices, and fails to meet its responsibilities. Throughout the course of my life, I have tried to learn from every circumstance. I watched my father work as a bricklayer, and I learned the dignity of hard work and the struggles that come with a blue-collar life. I became a certified public accountant, a field not generally known for its charisma, but we are known to be good with numbers. I learned the importance of being held accountable to results and that a family's budget has to end in the black and cannot be balanced on the back of future generations. While serving in the Ohio House of Representatives, I was kicked off of several important committees because I stood up to my own party and refused to vote for a tax increase. I learned that sometimes there is a cost to remaining true to your convictions, but it is a cost worth paying. So it's always interesting that during Republican primaries, we see candidates that try to position themselves by bolstering their conservative credentials. But if you want to know who a person really is, look at their record. I've spent my life taking on large tasks of reform. In the private sector, I fought for greater work-life balance for women in the workplace. As a legislator, I helped drive the largest tax cut in Ohio history. As auditor, we held government accountable. And as insurance director, I led Ohio's opposition to Obamacare. I know how to modernize institutions. I know how to make organizations more accountable and efficient, and how to make government more responsive to people's needs. I have worked side by side with a governor who is a good man, and I learned that a caring heart is essential to being a great leader. So I have the background, the experience, and the record of success that will ensure that no Ohioan is denied a fair chance, and every Ohioan has an opportunity to succeed. I have proved time and again that I am a tenacious fighter for common sense and common people. And if I'm elected governor, I will wake up every day prepared to fight for the people of this state, for the men and women whose stories I've come to know and whose hopes I will carry with me every day I am in office. I know that a record and a resume will not solve our problems, but innovative ideas will. We are in the midst of what might be the largest economic transformation in recorded history. When referring to this economic epic transformation, economists say it has caused great disruption and dislocation. I see it as a source of hardship and worry facing many real people. Ohio has not been exempt from these challenges. Some parts of our state were decimated by the Great Recession. We've made progress since then, but much more remains to be done. As conservatives, we believe in the dignity of work. And my top priority as governor will be to create an environment for well-paying jobs and meaningful work. I'll do so by building on the progress made by Jobs Ohio, but with an expanded focus on companies already doing work in our state, helping them to create jobs. I'll focus on small business and entrepreneurs, the true drivers of economic growth. I'll make Ohio a destination for business investment by engaging in the world marketplace. And I will build an Ohio infrastructure that positions us to be the economic leader, regardless of where technology takes us. Ohio is a place where people want to work, where the prospect of an honest day's pay for an honest day's work is something we aspire to. I refuse to accept multi-generational poverty in our state. There is a place for safety net programs to keep a family's house warm in the winter and food in the fridge during lean times. But government is not a long-term solution to any problem. These programs should be designed to give people a hand up when life has knocked them down, providing temporary relief, not create permanent dependency. Relying on government is not the Ohio way. We show resolve in the face of adversity. I want prosperity to touch the lives of all Ohioans. And here is my pledge to the voters of this state. Under a Mary Taylor administration, we will do more than restore good jobs. We will ensure that every Ohioan is prepared to seize those opportunities. We will restore dignity and bring opportunity to the lives of Ohioans of every race and background and social class. We must continue our regulatory reform efforts in order to restore those jobs. Regulations designed to safeguard Ohio citizens are essential. But while our regulatory system is far better than it was, it still needs work. Some people call government red tape a hidden tax, but I can tell you this, it sure as hell isn't hidden, not from the taxpayers, innovators, and small business women and men that I talk to. According to a new study, if it were a country, U.S. regulation would be the world's seventh largest economy, ranking behind India and ahead of Italy. That's a fancy way of saying our regulatory regime in America is out of control. Here's the good news. Ohio's Common Sense Initiative, which I have led for the last 6.5 years, has helped create a far more jobs-friendly regulatory climate in Ohio. CSI was established to give job creators a voice inside state government, to fight on their behalf, and to hold government accountable for the regulations they impose. And it's worked. Since we've started, we've reviewed over 10,000 regulations, and more than 60% of them have been changed or eliminated. In the last 2 years, we've seen a net reduction in the number of rules impacting businesses. CSI is the gold standard nationally and is widely praised by the business community in Ohio. The goal now is to replicate its success and to build on what works. Too many Ohioans are still being asked to walk through a thorny thicket of regulations to create jobs. We'll reform the structure of state government by integrating the Common Sense Initiative into every corner of every agency. We'll ensure that the bureaucrats no longer have the luxury of simply waiting out an administration before returning to the status quo. These reforms will serve as a magnet to potential employers across the nation and around the world, convincing them that they have an ideal destination in Ohio. We'll create an environment in which job creation is aided and honored. But if we allow the benefits of economic growth to be concentrated only with the fortunate few, we will have failed. Our responsibility is not just to create jobs, it is to make sure individuals have the skills and education to fill those jobs and achieve their dreams. This is the American dream. Everyone is given the opportunity to share in the blessings of a growing economy. In education, we expect our children to master the basics, but that requires us to master the basics when it comes to providing children with an excellent education. That includes providing students orderly and safe classrooms, teaching kids to read and write and do math well, and putting them in the company of well-trained, well-motivated, and well-paid teachers. But we must recognize that education does not occur only in the traditional K-12 model. It's a lifelong commitment and is more than just reading, writing, and arithmetic. Today, there is a gulf between the education our students receive in school and the skills they need to succeed outside the classroom. In fact, if Thomas Edison came back to life today, the only thing he would recognize in our society is our public schools. At the heart of my education agenda are policies that promote excellence and modernization. It is critical that we focus our schools on providing students the skills necessary to succeed, and we break down the traditional wall between the college track and the career track. We'll set high standards for our graduates and ensure students have the resources to meet those standards. We'll reset our charter school system as accountable centers of innovation that provide true choice and true benefit to Ohio families not satisfied with their existing options. We'll ensure Ohioans develop skills which lead to jobs, which lead to family security and prosperity. These policies will help students compete in the 21st century economy so they can achieve a successful and fulfilled life. I now will turn to the crisis that is sweeping our state and nation, drug use, drug addiction, and the opiate epidemic. It is the most challenging and dangerous problem we face. The number of fatalities from drug overdoses in America is staggering, nearly 60,000 deaths. More than 4,000 were our fellow Ohioans. Most of these deaths were caused by opiates. This is a crisis for the entire nation, and Ohio is the epicenter. When I'm governor, I will continue to give my full commitment to confront and defeat this addiction epidemic. It has touched so many families, including mine. There is no commitment closer to my heart than this one. Many of the people caught up in this problem were seeking relief from pain, only to find a different kind of pain and addiction dominate their lives. To combat the epidemic, we need a comprehensive, fully integrated drug control strategy, one that makes use of all the tools available to us, including law enforcement, treatment, education, faith initiatives, public service campaigns, and border interdiction. Hiring a personal injury attorney and filing a lawsuit against a drug company will not solve the problem, nor will simply creating jobs fix the issue. The federal government must step up and prevent this poison from entering our country in the first place. They must impede cultivation and production in China and the poppy fields of Afghanistan, target transnational cartels, and secure our southern border with Mexico. We must continually review prescribing practices to deal with the misuse of opiate medications. We need more and better treatment facilities, and we need our nation's leaders to rally public support and mobilize government to fight this crisis. Under a Taylor administration, we will confront this epidemic and put it on the road to defeat. And in so doing, we will bring help and hope to broken communities and broken lives. For me, this is personal. I have known the sorrow that drug addiction causes. I'm angry. Angry at what addiction does, the dreams it destroys, and the lives it takes. I am determined to fight for the lives of Ohioans from every region, race, and economic circumstance who finds themselves ensnared in this addiction. Ohio's challenges are real and difficult, but the solutions are hardly beyond our reach. This state has the innovation, skills, and will to succeed. We won't get there with old and typical answers offered by establishment politicians who go along to get along, who are more comfortable being a part of the system than challenging it. I am the one candidate in this race who will challenge the system. I have stood by my conservative principles even when it wasn't popular. As governor, I'll shake things up. I will fight against the special interests, and I will fight for the people who want bold and decisive leadership. I know the needs of this state. I have seen the struggles of middle-class Ohioans and those living in the shadows. I'm a reformer and modernizer who gets things done, and I am ready to lead. I have a positive vision for Ohio. We will shape an economy that generates jobs and opportunity. We will ensure that young Ohioans and those who have seen their lives disoriented by the global economy develop the skills to succeed in it. We will work to end the suffering and isolation of addiction. And we will strengthen our communities and families so we repair our social fabric. I will be a governor who stands four square on the side of good, decent, hardworking people of Ohio. Their concerns have become my calling. I will devote my time and energy bringing jobs and healing and hope to the state I love and to the people I serve. I am eager for this campaign to begin, to challenge the status quo, to offer solutions to the difficulties of our times, and to put the people of Ohio first. I'm in this race because I care deeply and passionately about our state and our people. And I am in to win. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
Just
you.
Just 1 second. I'm Dan Malthrop, Chief Executive here at the City Club, and today we're enjoying the second forum in our Ohio 2018 Meet the Candidates series, a Friday forum with Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, who we can now definitively say is, in fact, a Republican candidate for governor of the state of Ohio. We're about to begin the Q&A with all of you, and we welcome questions from everyone, City Club members, guests, students, or those of you joining us via our radio broadcast, the webcast, our Facebook Live video. May we have our first question, please?
Madam Lieutenant Governor, in addition to the various offices that will be on the ballot with you, there'll be a couple of initiatives. One will be the redistricting to combat gerrymandering, which would essentially attempt to adopt what your party passed to apply to the State House and State Senate, to apply that to the congressional district, districting rather. And the other, of course, is the move to limit what the state can pay for prescription drugs to what the VA pays, for which the drug industry is spending millions already to try to defeat. What's your position on these two issues?
So the first issue, as I understand, will be on the ballot in 18, the redistricting. It did not make the ballot this year. I have not seen it. When I see it, I will be happy to comment very specifically. I will just talk generally. I'm not opposed to competitive districts. I ran for the legislature in it was more than Democrat leaning. It was a Democrat seat. It was a competitive race, and I won. So I am not afraid of taking on a tough district or a tough race or a competitive race. And so, again, I'll comment very specifically when I see the language of that one. I don't think it's out there yet, but I don't think anybody should fear competitive districts or competitive races. With regard to the issue that you, the second issue that is, as I understand, will be on the ballot this year in 2017, I think we should be very careful that you individually as a person read what that issue really does. Concerning to businesses, first of all, there's no way to know what the VA pays for a prescription drug. That information is not public. It's not a transparent way to determine that. So it's impossible to know when the state is purchasing whether or not those drugs are being purchased at the lowest price. I will tell you where there is cost shifting, it's going to be shifted to states and to individual businesses in the state of Ohio. There is also a legitimate fear that new drugs being developed to treat any number of causes, medical conditions, may be prevented from development. So I would just encourage every individual to gain information with regard to that issue and make your own personal decision. I can tell you the commercials I've seen thus far are misleading. And I would just encourage you to gain your own information. I am not in support of shifting costs to the state, shifting costs to employers in this state, and ultimately preventing new prescriptions from being developed and brought to the market to help save individuals' lives.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, you mentioned education during your initial remarks, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to expand. What would a Mary Taylor administration do to maintain and improve the common schools of Ohio?
My goal is to truly break down the barrier, the wall, between students going to college that have chosen a college career or college path and students that are choosing a career path. We say to our school, our students, when they graduate from high school, they're going to be college and career ready, and we're not keeping that promise in too many cases. We need to get skill training back in our high schools to make it available to every single student, and we need them to understand that a career path is a choice. It is as good of a choice as a college path. Today, we talk about these paths as A choice and B choice, that somehow if you're going to college, that's a better choice. That doesn't make sense to me based on what I hear from employers across the state of Ohio. Every manufacturing facility I have visited in the last 6.5 years, even today, still says to me, I need people with skills to take the jobs that exist in the marketplace. I toured the carpenter's training facility in Columbus, and as I was touring it, they said to me, the average age of a new apprentice is 27 years old. Many of them have college degrees. Many of them couldn't find jobs. So we have to break down that wall. We have to stop talking about it and truly provide that as a real choice to Ohio students.
You talked about challenging the status quo, but I would think that many would see you as part of the status quo, having held office across Ohio. So how are you going to walk the line between challenging the status quo and being part of the status quo?
So I think anybody who knows me personally or has had the opportunity to work with me, so this will be my challenge, right? I have to communicate this to you and the general public. I challenge the status quo every single day. I gave you examples of where I challenged the status quo in the private sector when I stood up for what I consider to be a working mom's desire to spend more time with her son. And in fact, the firm that I worked for met my needs. We worked together, and that still exists today at the firm that I worked for. I stood up against my party when I was in the legislature and didn't vote for a tax increase and got kicked off of committees. When I was the auditor of state, I challenged the way that we did audits, and I innovated the office and brought new modern technology to the government sector, where those in the private sector had been using it in such an efficient and effective way for years. The work that I do at CSI, the Common Sense Initiative, regulatory reform, and some of my folks are here today, I think that they would agree with me. The work we do every day at CSI is we challenge the status quo. When we go to any state agency with regard to an issue that has been brought to us by the business community, it could be a new regulation, could be an old regulation, our job is to challenge the status quo and to challenge why things are being done a certain way. It's who I am, it's my DNA, it's the way my dad raised me. Never accept an answer when the answer doesn't make sense. That's what I have brought to the work that I did in the private sector and the work that I have done in the public sector. And I think that if you look at my record, it would speak very well to the fact that I do challenge the status quo every single day.
Thank you. What would you do to make Ohio more immigrant friendly?
And he was kind enough to let me know he was going to ask that question before before he did. A couple things. We are a nation made up of immigrants. All of our parents came from somewhere. My grandmother came from Croatia. We welcome immigrants who come legally into this country and into this state. I actually live in an area, Stark County, which has a lot of immigrant farmers who are vital to the work that the farming community does in Stark County. So I believe that we welcome with open arms those that come into our state in a legal way. Some of the work that I've been doing, I've worked on an initiative called the Great Initiative, where we are helping to not only but attract but retain for a short period of time international students who come to Ohio to study. Our goal is that once they graduate, where we can help meet the demand of an employer in the workplace, we can help put some of those immigrants, international students, to work for a year using their student visa. We are hoping to have the cultural experience on our campuses that all the students receive when we have international students on our campuses. We're helping to integrate those communities and also helping to meet the demand and the need of the employers that I hear across the state of Ohio. I will, in this administration, continue to work on those types of initiatives that bring the types of students to our state. And to be able to give them their best opportunity to get a great education, but to also get a work experience that benefits all of our employers, including Ohio employers who may want a future relationship with those individuals.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, in such a crowded field, what makes you most qualified to be our next governor?
That's a good question. You must be with one of my opponents. I'm just kidding. I am totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. It is a good question, right? So we have four on the Republican side, and then there will be, or at least right now, we have four on the Democrat side. It's what I've said. It's the experience I've had in the private sector, the experience I've had in the public sector, every day demonstrating that I am here to work for the people of this state. I challenge the status quo, and I never accept an answer that does not make sense to me. I believe that we have had problems, systemic problems, that we have faced in this state for too many years. I mentioned multi-generational poverty. I don't think that it is okay to accept a future where we just say multi-generational poverty is okay. We have to get at the root cause and recognize that there is dignity in work. And we have to give these individuals living in these situations. And we're not just talking about African American, racially ethnic inner city. We're talking about Southeast Ohio, where Bo grew up in Jackson County, where we have poverty and families living in multi-generational poverty. We need to reach out to these individuals, give them the skills and the education they need in order to get a job. And we have to start in our schools. We have to show students that there is another way. We have to give students hope, and we have to give them the skills they need to get a job. And I think you have to start somewhere. That's where I'm choosing to start. We will continue to tackle and take on the tough issues that this state faces, but I will not accept that the fact that it's been an issue or a problem for 10 or 15 or 20 or generations, that's the answer we have to expect for our future. When you think about the biggest social problem, the opiate and heroin and addiction crisis we face in this state, I have personal experience. I can tell you that I have learned more about a subject I didn't care to know so much about personally. And there is a strategy to defeat it. It is a complex problem, but it requires a comprehensive solution. I am the only one in this race on the Republican side. I'm not speaking to the Democrats yet. We'll do that after the primary in May. I am the only one in this race who understands the comprehensive solution that we need to fight this crisis and to defeat it.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, many would credit President Trump's win to winning the energy-intensive states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. How will you work to establish a strong relationship with President Trump, and how will you help Ohio build a strong energy future?
So I think one of the most important things the next governor needs to do in Ohio is to have a good working relationship with the administration. And I say that, although I think it's going to be me and be a Republican, I say that regardless of who gets elected next governor. I think it's important to have a good working relationship with the administration in Washington. You need to have open lines of communication so you can be communicating the challenges that we face and the solutions that they can be a part of. And you also need to tell them to get out of the way when they need to get out of the way. So I will commit to you that I will work hard every single day on behalf of the people of this state to maintain a good working relationship with our current president, Donald Trump, and the administration in Washington, because that's what's in the best interest of the people of this state, and that's what's in the best interest of this state. It's also in the best interest of the problems that we need to solve, because we need flexibility from Washington, and we're only going to get that if we go there and advocate for it. Energy, vitally important to the state of Ohio. We have seen an absolute boom in southeastern Ohio in particular, and it's real, and it exists. And there are still many future drilling opportunities in that part of the state. We're talking about a region of the state that for far too long has been left out of the economic benefits that many in other parts of the state have experienced. I will support it with my public policies. We will do our best to advocate on behalf of it. I will continue to meet with prospective companies like the cracker plant. I've had several meetings with the individuals, the executives of that company who are looking to locate a cracker plant in Southeast Ohio, a $5 billion construction project, vitally important to the state of Ohio, vitally important to that part of the state of Ohio, and most important to the people who live in that region and the families that will be positively impacted because of that new construction and those new job opportunities.
Madam Lieutenant Governor Taylor, one of the problems that I face as a candidate in the inner city are people who are returning from prison or people who have gotten felonies. They cannot find jobs. How many jobs will be allocated to people or companies allocated to people in these situations?
That's a great question, and I think this is where we got to stop talking about it and actually start doing something. Did we eliminate the check the box? Wait a minute. Where's my CSI folks? We did something regulatory reform. Todd, do you remember? I don't know if that was immigration or was that the felony issue. I can't remember. That might have been immigration. We did, right? Look, I think that, you know, as a state and then individual employers, it all speaks to criminal justice reform just at the outset, right? So, you know, we have far too many individuals that we make felons at the outset. We arrest individuals because they're addicted to drugs, and then they end up with a felony on their record, and we've ruined their life forever. It's really hard, as you've said, to get a job if you're a felon. No doubt we should, you know, individuals committing heinous crimes should be punished in accordance. But I mean, I think that we have to continue to fight for and advocate for criminal justice reform and to recognize that, I'll just go back to the addiction issue, individuals suffering addiction need help and they need treatment. They don't need a felony on their record. And I think as we continue to look for prospective employment opportunities for individuals coming out of our current state prisons, I think it's important that we continue to give them training and skills, and we're doing this today. I will tell you that Gary Moore, who today leads our prison system, is an extraordinary leader, has a heart of compassion, who understands the challenges of convicted felons, but also the opportunity if we can get them back into their community, back with their faith-based community and their family, and give them the real opportunity to get a job. We have to continue to fight for those opportunities and fight for the reform that's necessary to make sure that those individuals can find jobs. The individual who has the restaurant, is that what it is? I mean, what is that the where they bring in individuals who have been released from? You guys know it here, right? You know it here in Cleveland. I've been there. What an extraordinary program, right? So you're giving individuals coming out of prison an unbelievable opportunity for training, education, skills, and then the support around them to help them lead productive lives. Ultimately, that's what's best. Not only for them, but that's what's best for us as a society.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, how do you see the role of public libraries in your vision, and what do you think about the role of the state in funding public libraries?
So public libraries have evolved, as we all know, I think in good ways, not bad ways, and I think that it's incumbent upon a library to look for the ways they can best serve the citizens in their community. And I'm not saying we get rid of books in libraries. There's nothing better than going to a public library and pulling out a book. I also see public libraries when we think about better connecting individuals in certain parts of our state who don't have access to technology, better connecting them to job training and education. How do we better utilize our public libraries in parts of our state that aren't easily able to access the internet? How do we make available to them job training skills? How do we make available to them a listing of jobs that could be available to that match the skills that they currently have? So I think we have to continue, and if this is something that you work on or something you're involved in, I would love to sit down and have a conversation with you or a group of individuals you think would be important to talk to about what does the future state of our public library system in the state of Ohio look like? I think once you answer that question, then you define what the public support looks like.
I have been disturbed by Republican criticism of the subject of Planned Parenthood, and I ask you, what is your stance on that subject, please?
I am pro-life.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, the opiate problem that Ohio is facing, it seems to be now it's the heart of what the problem is. What do you think that the next governor should do to help solve that problem?
So I think, first of all, the next governor and I will demand that the federal government step up, that they use their technology, they use their intelligence, and shut it down at the border. We know where this stuff comes from. Heroin comes from the southern border, and pills come from Canada. They come from Toronto. There's an Asian gang in Toronto that runs pills. They come from China. I mean, we know this, and it's going to take the technology and the intelligence of the federal government to work with us to shut this down. It is going to take an all-out, comprehensive, concerted effort, partnership of law enforcement at every single level across the state of Ohio to track it down in our streets. And we have to put the drug dealers away. I met recently with our public safety director, and we know, look, for the dealers, for the cartels in Mexico, the cartels in Canada, it's all about business. It's all about making money. You got to shut their business down the way you would shut down a business. You got to shut off the demand for the supply. Number one, we have to work on shutting off the demand for the supply. Number two, we have to arrest the criminals who are selling these drugs to our kids in the streets. Number three, we have to shut it down at the federal border. We know today, one thing that never made sense to me is, it is a business. So we have seen this surge in Ohio of fentanyl and carfentanil overdoses. My question was, why are they killing their customers? Well, guess what? They're going to stop killing their customers, because today when they ship heroin to their dealer on the street, they're saying to them, you have to sell this cocaine too. And if you don't sell this cocaine, we're not going to ship you any more heroin. They're already shifting. They're shifting what's going to be on our streets because they know they can't keep up the heroin and the fentanyl and the carfentanil. That should scare the hell out of every single one of us in this room. We got to shut it down. And we need treatment. We need better and more treatment options for Ohioans. And we're going to have to step up and make it a priority and get it done. And it's comprehensive treatment, too. I can tell you, having personally been through it, 30-day programs aren't enough. It's a brain disease, and it should be treated as a brain disease. And because it's a brain disease, you have to treat it like that. And you have to treat the entire brain. And that takes more than 30 days.
You mentioned innovation being a important part of the state of Ohio, and especially for economic growth, startups and entrepreneurship plays a great role in that. So my question is, how do you plan on continuing innovation in the state of Ohio, and in regards to funding, what do you plan to do with the Ohio Third Frontier Fund?
Third Frontier has really been, it's been an extraordinary tool that has been available to us for some time to help fund new innovation in the state of Ohio. I have been having conversations specifically with Ray Leach here at Jumpstart and others across the state of Ohio who are on a day-to-day basis interacting with Third Frontier. I believe the next governor needs to define what a Third Frontier-like program might look like. I don't know that I have yet enough information to say we're going to go out and continue to battle and fight for a new Third Frontier. It's going to have to go back to the ballot. I've had some conversations with the folks at Jobs Ohio. We can continue to fund innovation and research, which I think is vital to the state of Ohio, potentially without a Third Frontier type of program. So I think that from my perspective, I am open to the good ideas and suggestions coming from those that work directly in that field. And I am talking to those people to put together what that next program looks like. If there is one, I'll just be honest. We've got to define what our need is and then to figure out how do we fund it?
I have a Twitter question. You mentioned school choice briefly. What are your thoughts on school choice vouchers?
For me, in Ohio, school choice needs to be about what it was originally stated to be, and I think that it is a little bit strayed from its mission. School choice or charter schools or whatever, you know, you want to, and I'll go to the vouchers because that's a slightly different issue. School choice was intended to be opportunities for innovation, and I'm not sure that we've gotten quite where we need to be. I have visited schools across the state. I've visited at least one in Tennessee, which I consider to be learning opportunities with extraordinary innovation. I would like to see charter schools in Ohio truly become the centers for innovation they were intended to be. I believe that vouchers are necessary to give parents and children an option for a quality education where they are not satisfied with the choices in the community that they live in.
Lieutenant Governor Taylor, I'm pleased to hear that you want to work with our federal government more closely should you become governor. But what are you going to do with the proposed rollbacks in federal EPA funding, especially for the greatest asset that we have in Ohio, this Great Lake?
So for the last 4 or 5 years, I have been Ohio's representative to the Great Lakes Governors and St. Lawrence Premiers Association. So I have attended the meetings on behalf of the state of Ohio. I have worked very closely with that group on what is our primary, most important mission, which is to protect the health of the Great Lakes. Of course, our interest is Lake Erie. And so that is an issue very close to my heart, something that I have personally committed time and energy to. It's a vital natural resource, not only because of the drinking water it provides, but the tourism industry that benefits the entire state because of Lake Erie. So I think it is vitally important that we continue to work collaboratively as a region to protect the Great Lakes. And I think that where that includes challenging the administration, where they're making cuts that don't make sense, I am prepared and actually have done that. When they proposed a cut to the Great Lakes Restoration Fund, I wrote an op-ed that said, this is a fund that has provided vital resources, that has allowed the state of Ohio to do extraordinary research around algal blooms and in keeping out invasive species, work that needs to continue and work that wouldn't get done except for that. So I am prepared to step up and fight when I disagree for the issues that I think are important to the state. Right now, with that Great Lakes Governors and St. Lawrence Premiers Association, I'm leading an economic task force where Governor Steiter has asked me to work with representatives from the entire region, 8 states, 2 provinces, to identify what our economic opportunities in the Great Lakes region are, and also how do we take advantage of those opportunities. And so that's work that we're doing right now. We'll be issuing a report probably October, maybe before, it'll be August, September, and then when this group meets again in October, we're going to have real deliverables, things that we're going to expect governors to take back to their states and premiers to take back and get things done from an individual perspective. One of them is regulatory conformance, which I think would be extraordinary for this entire region if we can get there.
As a resident of growing up in Southeast Ohio, thank you for the comments there. But as you know, a lot of people in that part of the state are not real pleased with the current governor. So what do you say to conservative voters who say they can't support you because of your connection with the current governor?
So my response to that, or anybody who says, you know, something similar to that, look, I am an individual. I bring my own life experience. I bring my own professional experience. I have served with a man who I believe cares deeply about the state of Ohio and who made the decisions he believed were the best decisions for the state. I don't agree with my husband 100% of the time. You can ask him. He'll share with you if you'd like. Only if you have the rest of the day to hear it, though. I haven't always agreed with this governor, but I respect the man and I respect the position. And my disagreements came behind closed doors. And any conversation that I had with him where he knew that he and I were not on the same page are discussions behind closed doors, and that's where they'll remain for the most part. I'm not afraid to speak up against positions that we are facing today or that we'll face in the future. But at the end of the day, he is the governor of the state. The decisions that were made were his to make. I am an individual who will bring my experience, who will bring all of my life experiences, my willingness to challenge the status quo every single day, to the job that I hope to do as governor of the state of Ohio.
Today at the City Club, we've been enjoying the second forum in our Ohio 2018 Meet the Candidates series. Today's was a Friday forum with Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, Republican candidate for the governor of Ohio. Our community partner is the League of Women Voters. Additionally, we welcome guests at tables hosted by the Associated Fuel and Petroleum Dealers Incorporated, friends and family of Mary Taylor for governor, and the George Group. We thank all of you for being here today. That brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor Taylor. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our forum is now adjourned.
For information on upcoming speakers or for podcasts of the City Club, go to cityclub.org. Production and distribution of City Club forums on IdeaStream are made possible by the generous support of PNC, and the Raskin Family Fund, with additional funding from Cleveland State University, Robert Conrad, and the Payne Fund.